I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Don't forget, it's Woke Wednesdays today. Next hour, we're going to have Samuel Garrett Pate from Equality California unpacking some of the biggest headlines in political news and making them a little bit more understandable for those of us who are not political experts. We can't all be like Michaela.
Thank you. Well, it's not easy being me, but... because someone's got to do it, am I right?
So let's talk about where you stand with money and finances in those moments where you haven't had a discussion with your partner, Lisa. How do you navigate your own credit? Do you have limits to like how far you will run up your cards?
You know, it's interesting because before I met Lisa, I feel like I grew up in a time, particularly with the profession that I chose. I had no desire to be pregnant, married with a house that I bought on my own by the time I was 30. And a long time ago, those were people's like actual...
By 30, I think that sounds late.
Yeah,
25
you're right.
In some communities.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Like 22, 23 even you could be.
Yeah.
So I didn't always take the actions in the past to set myself up to be able to do those things because I didn't care. Mm-hmm. And then when I met Lisa, Lisa's so responsible that she was like, listen, you don't need to buy a house right now. We don't need to get married, but you do need to be more responsible as my partner. And I was like, okay, fine. So I'm financially more responsible.
What does that look like for you? Do you try to save an actual amount or just don't spend that much?
No, I put a little bit of my check away each month.
That's good.
And I pay all my bills, I try to, early enough, a little bit early.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do keep my credit card very, very low and just use it for emergencies.
I have to tell you, I kind of was, you know, because I have two credit cards. One is like a normal adult credit card. The second one's like I call it the travel card. Like if I leave home, I can just take that with me and it doesn't have a high balance.
Oh, smart.
And then I have my debit card, but all of them have, you know, like the Visa or MasterCard logo on it. So I could use, they all function like credit cards. And I sometimes use them, you know, I'm not discerning. Not even thinking about the interest rates on the credit card.
Let me tell you something.
So you're actually spending way more money if you use your credit card.
I never think about the interest rate ever. And I actually have kind of a high one. And so, but there are things that I just didn't always think about because I didn't prepare for a life that I thought I would need that. Does that make sense? Like, duh, at 31, I'm like, of course you need credit and to be functioning financially. But it's just a different time, I feel like, for you know, this generation and at least myself.
Well, get this. About 60% of all Americans are carrying some kind of debt with them, right? But millennials apparently don't owe as much as their older counterparts. And not quite so many millennials are making the mistake of owing money on their credit cards. So just like 56.7% of millennials have credit card debt compared to 67.6% of Gen Xers, which is me, and 65.6% of baby boomers. So millennials who do owe also owe less.
Well, you know what's interesting? I think too, I think for baby boomers, it was much easier to get loans years ago. Now it's not so easy to be able to get a loan. And also millennials aren't taking loans out to buy houses. I mean, some of them are choosing to not even go to college anymore so they don't have student loans.
Well, according to this article, which came out in USA Today, millennials are using credit cards for right reasons. So when they're picking a credit card, they're looking for the ones with the lowest interest rate. They're actually doing their homework in some of these things.
Well, you know, if you do it right, you also get so many benefits from using your credit card. You get cash back. You can get...
Do you do that, though? Do you select cards specifically for the purpose of the benefits?
I don't, and I will be because I get cash back on my credit card now. And I never realized that. I was like, this is amazing. And then I was like, that's how you got to do it.
I have friends who have the gas card. Or they have the card where the more you use it, I had a card, I guess one of the cards, does Uber points. So Uber dollar, yes, I was making Uber bank.
That's good. Yeah. You know what I'd really like to do if I do another credit card is like a Southwest credit card where you get
they always
back.
On when you're on a flight, they always hustle you into those plane things. I've never said yes. I've never investigated those things. But all right, coming up later in the show, Michaela Gordon, here's a question. Do you fall into the pile of getting to stay a meat eater or a non-meat eater? Because you did have the non-meat eat challenge with the show After Us, but you're still on the burgers or burgers train, or do you like some Impossible Burger?
No. I still like a little red meat. I'm trying to cut it out completely, but okay. She loves a cheeseburger.
Well, it is National Cheeseburger Day today. So we're going to do a little trivia game to test our knowledge on cheeseburgers coming up after this.
Do we have actual cheeseburgers?
I mean, I can Postmates them now.
Great.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Coming up in the next hour, did Corey Lewandowski have you scratching your head yesterday? Or maybe he shocked you. Maybe you're one of those people who like completely audibly gasped in the courtroom when he said that he doesn't have to be honest with the media. And he's considering a run for Senate.
Honestly, he was serving a lot of attitude.
Just angry. He was angry, angry, mm-hmm. angry. He even had to be there. He was doing the bidding of the president and felt like, as a private citizen, he didn't owe nobody nothing. And they're considering how, like having him be in contempt of court. So yeah. We'll see how that plays out. And I'm curious to see how Sam Garrett-Pate unpacks that for us. That'll be next hour. But for now, it is National Cheeseburger. You know what? Honestly, if you guys are down, I will fully, at 8 o'clock when there's someone downstairs, I will get us cheeseburgers. You just tell me from where you would like your cheeseburger from.
Let me tell you something. We're going to Vegas for Life is Beautiful.
It is National Cheeseburger Day.
I have not eaten anything proper
in
a week.
You'll run around the block and burn off those cheeseburger calories, but you're joining the fun. Okay, so now our producer Justin's going to play a trivia game. Maybe you get the low-carb version.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Just play the game.
That's right.
Just play the game.
All right. Calm down. So it is National Cheeseburger Day. A lot of different fast food restaurants are doing deals across the country.
I
so
saw that.
If you can find those, definitely score some. But what goes best with cheeseburger are some French fries.
Ooh.
So this is the top 10 best fast food French fries according to Ranker.com.
Okay.
Michaela Gordon, you are the customer.
She was angry.
First
I should really go first.
Okay, fine, Jake.
McDonald's.
Well, only number one.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
I love McDonald's. But you know what? I love all burgers.
Give
in and out.
These are fries, though, isn't it?
Oh, the best fries.
Fries.
Okay.
Thanks for paying attention.
I was honestly fantasizing about the hamburger. I haven't eaten in so long.
Watering.
My mouth is watering. I'm starving. I literally haven't had a proper meal in 2 weeks. I'm very hungry. All the things I do to be in a bikini.
Fries. Think about it. Honestly, think about where we go here and where people. Is this nationwide, right?
Nationwide.
Okay, so you gotta think about places that are not here.
I'm gonna
places
say Burger
that are
King.
Burger King? Number okay. seven.
I'm gonna say In-N-Out.
Oh, great guess, Jay.
It's wrong, huh?
Yeah.
It's because there's not enough of them, right?
Right.
That's 14th on the list. Still. A shame. A travesty.
All right, let's
Michaela.
Say.
Who's famous for their fries?
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. Mm-hmm. Way down on the list, surprisingly.
That's false. No.
Really?
I'm not going to let this go down. They've got the waffle crisps, uh-huh. and you know they're amazing. With
all right,
a little ranch.
Fries. You said Burger King.
Yeah.
We already did McDonald's.
The best.
Do we do Wendy's?
We did not.
Number four.
Way to make that happen for yourself.
I don't know if I approve of that messaging.
I don't approve of it either.
Wendy's?
No. Wendy's, most of the time, they're not good at all. They're cold and they've been sitting there for a while.
Yeah, like a soggy cold.
All right. Okay. So now, okay. Places with fries. I'm going to say Arby's.
Okay.
I would go with you on that one.
Number two, the curly fries.
What? Oh my. Ooh. Don't do this. I haven't had a curly fry in a long time. I'm starving.
Tied up for 2 to 2
a day. I love those fries. Oh my God.
I'm going to say Carl's Jr.
You know, I think that was already guessed. Thanks
oh,
for paying attention.
Oh, it was. Jeez.
But if you think about it, there's not many burger
no, this
places.
Is, let me tell you what's hard about this game. This is early morning. Our mouths are already salivating. This is a hard game to play when you're hungry.
Shady.
Yeah.
A little clue? Yes. Doesn't have to be a burger place.
Okay, Taco Bell.
Good guess.
Why
did
I go to tacos? Why did I go there? I'm just hungry.
Okay, maybe the best fries are actually secretly at Right. KFC.
KFC?
I don't know.
Only number nine.
Oh!
Jay takes the lead.
Good job.
Michaela?
Okay, and the same token, I'll say Popeyes.
Popeyes?
Oh, my God, we're the best.
Number 10. One last go around, Jay.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Fast food fries in the country.
Ooh, God, best French fries in the country. Okay, so burger. We did all the fast food change. I think that.
I wonder if it could be an ice cream place because people like French fries with ice cream.
How about like Dairy Queen? Do they do French fries there?
Just outside the list at number 13.
Oh, but that was good.
Close.
Okay,
Michaela, your last guess for the win.
Okay, all right. Okay. Okay, we said Popeyes, we said KFC, we said Arby's, Carl's Jr., Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's. I feel like we're definitely missing one. What do I love to eat? Think about it, Michaela. You love fast food. I'm going to say Shake Shack, but I think it's wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll just end this on a tie, but I'll give you the top 10. Number 10 was Popeyes. Number 9, KFC. Number 8, Red Robin, surprisingly.
Yum.
Oh, yeah, those are good, actually. Poor Red Robin.
Yeah. Number 7, Burger King. Number 6, Rally/Checkers.
Checkers.
Here, but yeah.
You know what? I'm not a...
Appropriately enough, in number 5, Five Guys.
Oh, the yeah, no, they fries. Like those. They like those. They bring them into gym bars. We have a Five Guys right across
you
from the
like
gay bar.
Them?
The boys like them, yeah.
Number 4, okay. Wendy's, you guys got. Number 3, the one last missing on the list.
What?
The Evil Empire Chick-fil-A.
Oh, God.
We have to go to commercial.
Go to commercial.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Coming up on this, the National Cheeseburger Day, we've got Woke Wednesdays today with Sam McGirt Pate. Chatting definitely about Corey Lewandowski. I know that if you've been watching any of the news, you know that he has been making all the headlines. And then Trump waited on homelessness. He is, I think, currently still in California, downtown LA to be specific. So we'll be talking about that. Plus, Broadway lovers are in for a treat. A favorite cult classic for the community is now making its way to the Chicago stages with a Broadway intended run. So we'll see what happens there. Plus, Michaela, you've got a lot of things going on and what's popping. Jeff Lewis is making headlines.
Oh my
Actually,
God.
His 2-year-old is.
Ooh. I literally can't stand it, but also can relate so hard to like me as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a crazy brotherly feud happening that's
taken a turn. Yeah, famous brothers.
Yeah, and it's gotten a little bit dark,
yeah,
but we're going to share it.
It's real dark.
It's real dark. It is real dark.
But it's also kind of shocking.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's an important conversation to actually have because it's very interesting.
Absolutely. Before we get there, it is time now for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, Ed Buck was charged Tuesday with allegedly running a drug den out of his West Hollywood apartment and providing methamphetamine to a 37-year-old man who suffered an overdose last week. The Los Angeles District Attorney's Office said Buck, 65, was charged with one felony count each of battery causing serious injury, administering methamphetamine, and maintaining a drug house. Now, according to the DA's office, Buck was accused with injecting the victim with methamphetamine at the defendant's apartment in the 1200 block of Laurel Avenue in West Hollywood. Now, if he is convicted as charged, Buck would face a possible maximum sentence of 5 years and 8 months in state prison. Now, I do want to know if you think that that's long enough. The maximum sentencing would be 5 years and 8 months. We're going to be talking more about it later on in the show, so make sure you tune in for that. All right, guys. A trio of tropical threats has emerged in the Atlantic Basin. Forecasters warned Tropical Storm Imelda threatens to swamp portions of southeastern Texas with more than a foot of rain this week, possibly leading to dangerous, life-threatening flash floods. Meanwhile, tropical storm warnings have been hoisted in Bermuda as strengthening Category 2 Hurricane Umberto approaches the tiny island. Umberto is likely to track near Bermuda by later Wednesday, potentially bringing strong winds, battering surf, and heavy rain, the Weather Channel said. And last, a new tropical depression formed Tuesday, far out in the Atlantic, one that should become Tropical Storm Jerry by Wednesday. However, it poses no immediate threat to the land. All right, guys. Well, after a fundraising luncheon in Palo Alto on Tuesday and a fundraising dinner in Beverly Hills, President Donald Trump is heading to San Diego for another fundraising luncheon. Following a stop in Los Angeles, Trump's swing through the Golden State comes just a little more than a week after his administration touched off a furor by confirming it sent officials to California to look for ways to intervene in the state's growing homeless crisis, which Trump has described as disgusting and a disgrace to our country. So who better than to talk about this than our very own Samuel Garrett Pate from Equality California, who will be joining us coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Let me tell you something. Yesterday, while Corey Lewandowski was testifying before Congress, I was glued to the radio as if it was like a telenovela, and I could not wait for Woke Wednesdays with Samuel Garrett Pate. He's with us now from Equality California. Welcome back, Samuel.
Good morning.
Hi,
good
Samuel.
Morning. So it was some tomfoolery. I have never. And honestly, I think what the Democrats did well, and you can talk better at the specifics of this, Corey Lewandowski basically admitted and said some things that really, really highlighted his involvement in all of this yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall headline coming out of it was everything that he didn't say. But what he did say was, you know, some of the most egregious, was confirming one of the most egregious examples of obstructive acts that the president has taken.
Because remember, it was no collusion, no obstruction.
Course,
no collusion, no obstruction.
Except for the time that he told Corey Lewandowski to write down a note and take it to Jeff Sessions, telling him to unrecuse himself and limit the scope of the investigation.
There was that
little part that Corey Lewandowski did confirm to Congress yesterday under oath, in between cracking jokes and saying that he's under no obligation to tell the truth to the media.
Right.
Which, of course, no, you're not. But, like, to sit there and have that little shame to be like, oh, well, I do lie to the press because I have no reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said a lot even about his, I liked what you said, that he talked about the Tooth Fairy and that his children were watching.
Well, right. So Congressman Jamie Raskin from Maryland was basically calling him out on some nonsense and saying and used an example of, I think it's as made up as the Tooth Fairy. And Corey Lewandowski waits a beat and is like, you know, thanks, Congressman, my children are watching. Like, your children are watching you make a jackass out of yourself in front of Congress? Like,
yeah, right.
I think that says more about your parenting than it does about Congress.
Well, he was just so angry and
arrogant.
Wanting to mock everything.
It was the arrogance. I mean, like, at one point...
It was honestly, Michaela, it was as uncomfortable as, like, a real dramatic scene on Housewives. I had to lower the volume a couple times. I was I got sweaty in the
you
car.
You did?
Yes, it was dramatic.
So Eric Swalwell, who was running for Congress and dropped out sort of recently, congressman from California, was asking him a question, and his response was, well, President Swalwell.
Oh, my gosh.
And Congressman Swalwell's just like, okay, he was asking him if he would read what he wrote when the president asked him to dictate
this. That's right.
And so Congressman Swalwell was sort of ignored that and was like, are you ashamed of what you've written? Mm-hmm. And his response was, I'm not ashamed of anything in my life, Congressman. Are you? And it's just like, wow.
Oh, my God. That's not clear.
I mean, clearly he's not ashamed of anything. Like, one of the things that the Democratic Congress has to sort of figure out is, how do they hold people who have literally no shame accountable? I mean, normally with something like this, it would never come down to holding someone in contempt of Congress or having to impeach the president, you know, introduce an article of impeachment over just like obstruction of Congress, because normally you can shame people into acting like an adult when they're testifying in front of Congress. But here we are, you know, Trump administration officials and people in broader Trump world. Because remember, Corey Lewandowski, who cited executive confidentiality, which is not a privilege, yesterday, he's never worked in the White House. So he has there's no legal privilege that he can claim, but didn't stop him yesterday.
Yeah.
Normally, people like that would act like an adult, but instead we have people who don't show up for hearings, ignore subpoenas, refuse to comply with them, show up to hearings, and then say, no, the White House has limited my testimony, when in the case of Corey Lewandowski, the White House has no right to limit his testimony.
Yeah.
He's a private citizen.
Yeah, if you guys
always
are just tuning
been.
In, we are with Samuel Garrett Pate talking about Corey Lewandowski. Now, as funny as it is, more so because it's so shocking, and with him totally mocking everybody. What is the seriousness of this? What do they do from this point on?
Yeah,
and can he actually get in trouble?
My feeling, and this is what I was confused with yesterday, it seems like the Democrats are trying to also be mindful that we have an election coming up right now. And so with the articles of impeachment or the impeachment inquiry beginning and all that stuff, is that the right path? Because it seems like the Trumpers are doubling down. The Corey Lewandowski types are just repeating the same sound bites that he did yesterday, that this is all a big attack against the president.
So this is the big debate within the Democratic Party and specifically within the Democratic House majority, which is, what is the right tack here? You can't hold people accountable by just shaming them, because that doesn't work with these people. So what do you do? Do you just continue to, you know, bring contempt of Congress charges, which take a long time, unclear sort of where some of those are going to go, because the Justice Department is not going to actually prosecute any of them. So then Congress would have to take it into its own hands, which they have their own process for doing that. But again, it's complicated.
Yeah. It's long and messy and not going to happen.
So do you pursue impeachment? And the Judiciary Committee is clearly walking that way and has said, you know, confirmed now multiple times that they are indeed pursuing an impeachment inquiry. But House leadership under Speaker Pelosi has been reticent to do that for, you know, for political reasons. Now, as soon as you say that, people get all uppity and angry that Speaker Pelosi is taking politics into account. We all share the same goal, right? Which is make sure Donald Trump does not have four more years in the White House.
Right.
So it's not that unreasonable for her to take politics into account, because she knows that they're not going to impeach and remove him. Remember, this is a two-step process. The House can impeach, but if the Senate doesn't remove him, he's still president.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
That's what happened with Bill Clinton. So is it really that unreasonable that she would say, hey, if this is going to actually mess us up and result in four more years of Trump, like, it's nice that we all talk about how it's Congress's duty to impeach, but if the Senate's not going to do the second half of it, which they've shown that they won't do it on gun control, they won't do it on drug prices, they won't do it on any policy issue, so if they're not going to do the other half, isn't it more responsible to just make sure we win in 2020? Yeah.
Well, Donald Trump is in town and he had a lot to say about homelessness. We have that coming up after this.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Well, it is Woke Wednesdays for us here on The Morning Beat. That's when we bring in Sam McGirr-Pate, who's the Communications Director at Equality California. We have him communicate what we direct him to talk about. Now it's on Trump and him speaking on homelessness. Shall we just play some audio of our president, the President of the United States, talking about the homelessness epidemic that we've honestly, in every city across this nation, I'm sure, faces, but let's have a listen.
Well, no, some of our cities.
Some of our cities. But New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, they've got a major problem with.
Very sad.
With filth.
Very sad. It's disgraceful. We're looking at it very seriously, because you can't do that. You can't have what's happening where police officers are getting sick just by walking the beat. I mean, they're getting actually very sick. You know, I had a situation when I first became president. We had certain areas of Washington, D.C., where that was starting to happen. And I ended it very quickly. I said, you can't do that. When we have leaders of the world coming in to see the President of the United States and they're riding down a highway, they can't be looking at that. I really believe that it hurts our country. They can't be looking at scenes like you see in Los Angeles and San Francisco. We may intercede. We may do something to get that whole thing cleaned up. It's inappropriate.
So, Michaela, homelessness is inappropriate and President wants to intercede.
First of all, I want to say this. New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, even Washington are almost unlivable. The prices have gotten so expensive just to find rent, to find housing with gentrification happening. And so I don't know what he thinks he's doing, but to constantly just name call and make it, you know, almost a criminal act, like, to try to find housing.
So Tucker Carlson, you heard at the beginning there, he refers to human beings as filth.
Filth, yeah.
And then the president, to your point, Michaela, he's talking about how it's unfair to the police. It's unfair to him as president. It's unfair to world leaders.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate. No compassion for people who are experiencing homelessness.
Right. At all.
And the mental health issues that go along with that, just honestly, because of what happens to you when you do lose sleep for the first night on the street, the second night, the third night, and all the things that happen when you become someone who is displaced.
I mean, homelessness is a crisis. Like, none of us are denying that. I don't think anyone is. Certainly not, we're all in LA, so I think we can most easily speak to what folks are doing here. But, the city is spending a ton of money. The city and county are spending a ton of money addressing homelessness. Unfortunately, the cost of housing, to your point, Michaela, is rising faster than the temporary housing can be built. But obviously things need to be done. But what he's talking about in terms of interceding, I mean, he's done nothing in Washington, D.C.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing, right?
Nothing.
I just tried to Google. I really did. I wanted to know what was going on. And really nothing came up. Nothing came up in any of the cities that he talks about. Really, if anything, and I don't know if this would be to the point or not, but I even remember when I was living in Vegas, there's a downtown area that was really made for people that could not afford housing. And it was an okay, I mean, it wasn't the safest area, but it was at least somewhere where they could go. They knocked down all those homes, all those buildings, and then rebuilt it into like the arts district. And that's part of the problem to me. They're trying to like redo all these things. Can't Trump step in any way and do something about that? Like, what steps can he take?
In theory, the president could provide leadership on a whole lot of issues, but he doesn't do that. He just wants to make problems disappear for himself. He doesn't care about like long-term solutions. Mm-hmm. So the two things I can think of that he's done on homelessness, one is that his Department of Housing and Urban Development has rolled back protections for trans people who are seeking shelter. Homeless shelters can now turn away trans folks under the president's new rules. Now, that doesn't make it legal, but under the executive branch's regulations, they've rolled back the protections that the Obama administration had put in place for trans folks. So I don't know how that helps address the homelessness crisis, but seems to me it would make it worse. Last night, he stayed in a hotel a few blocks away from where I live in downtown LA, and they came in and they cleared out all of the homeless people from like the 3 to 4 block radius around the hotel so that he wouldn't see them, I guess.
And where did they ask them to go? I mean, what did they expect
somewhere,
them to do?
Anywhere so that he didn't have to see them. Yeah.
I mean,
that's what he's doing.
So how you said that they literally call them filth and a disgrace, talking about other human beings that he truly has done nothing for and nothing about.
Meanwhile, 4 in 10 homeless youth in this, or youth experiencing homelessness in this country, are LGBTQ.
Right.
We don't make up 40% of the population, just to be clear. But we make up 40% of the population of youth experiencing homelessness. So if people actually want to do something about homelessness, if you live here in LA, there's a campaign called Everyone In that you should check out. Run by United Way and a coalition of service organizations who are actually doing something to address the homelessness crisis, unlike the president who just wants to make it go away.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it is going to be up to us as a nation because, you know, asking them to leave. There's so much homelessness downtown, and to even think that they would clear 4 blocks have no solution
even
for
where
them.
We live in a nice part of town, in a quote, nice part of town. The truth is, many people are just a few paychecks away from experiencing this themselves, and they'd be on. I've seen it happen many times, or even the opiate addiction, or whether it is any kind of drug addiction. You know, it's all kind of interconnected. Unless you tackle one piece of it, you can't really tackle any part of it.
Well, this is what, you know, some of the presidential candidates talk about, the cost of healthcare and how folks are one big healthcare bill away, one visit to the emergency room away from becoming homeless themselves.
Well, Sam McGarry-Pay, thank you so much for dropping by. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up, A Broadway Lover's Wet Dream. That's right. One of your favorite movies is now going to hit the stage, and Michaela Gordon is thinking about starring in it. Find out which one next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Well, this is different for us. I know we don't play Elton John, but I swear this has a purpose.
Yeah.
Elton John is a new project, and you may fall in love with this concept. Or maybe you just... This may make your eyes roll, but Elton John, he's reimagining the movie The Devil Wears Prada. He'll be scoring that. It's actually going to be made into a Broadway musical. And as you know, Elton John did The Lion King. He did Aida. So he's got some Broadway credits.
Listen, I will say first and foremost, The Devil Wears Prada is going to be amazing. The movie was amazing. People still quote it. We were talking about when we were in theaters, people were like screaming at the screen. They were like, yes. I will say this, though. I don't know if I'm going to like Elton John's music with The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm. There's a number. It's a hot dance number called I Eat a Cube of Cheese. Do you not remember?
No. When,
oh, my gosh. You need to...
Tell me. I got to rewatch it.
Give me your gay card. I'll give it back to you when you rewatch it. So here's what happens. No, when she... when she's talking about fitting into the gap, when the, what's the British assistant? Whatever her name.
Not Emily, but whatever her name is. Yeah.
Maybe it is. It's Emily.
I think it's Emily because I was thinking Emily.
And Andrea. So they're talking about like, you know, like the kind of diets for the Met Ball, whatever they're going to. And she has to whisper into her ear like, that sounds out. And she's like, oh my God, you look at me. And she goes, yeah, I eat a cube of cheese and then that's it. And then she like talks about it.
Oh.
There's apparently a number of like that. No one has been called out for being attached to this yet. But Emily Skinner and Christina Alabado did the workshops of it in New York, which, by the way, that's what I'm telling you to get in on. There's rumors of The Nanny being workshopped right now. You want to get on the workshop because that improves your chances to going into the production.
Is that how it works, even if you're not a celebrity? Like, is Emily Skinner and Christina Alabado big celebrities?
Emily Skinner is a big Broadway star. And I think Christina Alabado is from Smash, I believe.
But got it.
But not. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Listen, I think if they're doing... You made a great point. A song that they may make is Cerulean.
Because of the color of that sweater that... Andrea, Anne Hathaway wore, and she was so ignorant to the process of which of what they do over at Mode. That was the name of the fashion magazine, wasn't it?
Runway.
Mode was the one from Vanessa Williams' show. All right. So, what are your favorite parts of Devil Wears Prada, and what would you like to see appear on stage?
Well, we talked about it when she wakes up with a boy in Paris.
Yeah.
After having sex with him, finds out that he's going to take over all the plans, and she walks out, and he's like, "Baby, it's already done." And she goes, "I'm not your baby."
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Cerulean's got to make an appearance.
Yeah, Cerulean's got to make an appearance. Also, I thought it was so. I wish they would make a whole thing with the sidekick. Like, I wanted a sidekick after that.
Girl, I'm late to the party because I had a song. Well, you give me on my sidekick, baby, I'm the right chick.
Oh my God, we should pitch this.
Oh my gosh. Chad Richardson, who wrote it, where are you?
Do
you
want to bring that back? Oh my God, pitch it. Bring it back.
We'll just whisper it into Elton John's ear.
Yeah, I love that.
Because that was the cellular device that Annie used. It would flip up, and underneath was a full keyboard. It was easy to type. It was like the cooler version of a BlackBerry.
Yeah,
at the
it was
time.
So cool.
Yeah. Will you miss the Madonna soundtrack?
Yeah, I will. Well, that's the thing. I'm attached to the original, so
me
we
too.
Have to see how it goes with Elton John. And although he's iconic, it has been shown sometimes two legends don't do well together.
I know what a number or a big point will be.
What?
When her boyfriend, who's like the chef, makes her the grilled cheese, and she just won't even eat it. And he's like, "What? There's like $6 worth of Jarlsberg in there."
Yeah.
A grilled cheese sandwich might be a moment between them.
That could be a good one. Also, I'll love to see the transformation. It reminds me of Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. I just love transformation.
How they shoot, because it's a video montage of Anne Hathaway's character in New York City in many different outfits, showing her progression.
Looking so beat.
Yes. And honestly, who's the, help me out with the red hair, Patricia Field.
Oh, yeah.
Who styled Sex and the City was the costume designer for this. She needs to be the Broadway costume designer.
I totally
she
agree.
She has to be.
Because the costumes are really going to make it, too. They
100%.
Were such a luck. Oh, I could talk about this all day, but
me
we
too.
Have to go. So coming up, we've got a lot that we're talking about, including Ed Buck being arrested.
Find Ali, but will it go anywhere?
We don't know.
See?
Also, we found ourselves in a situation yesterday, well, Poppy Rodriguez did, about a table that did not properly tip, and we're talking about it. What's your tipping style?
Yeah.
So stick around with a new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
All right. So what kind of tipper are you? That is the question. And what are the criteria to make you leave a large or no tip at all? We'll be talking about that, what's appropriate and what isn't. Based on experience I had yesterday at sushi, it wasn't great. was not great, Michaela.
What happened?
Oh my gosh. I'll save it for later. But also, what's popping? Taylor Swift is making news, as well as the Carter family. No, not Beyonce and Jay-Z. The other Carters, Nick and Aaron. They're making major headlines for a family feud that is getting national, if not global, attention. Also, Britney Spears making headlines as well. And then in our final hour, Chester Lockhart will be joining us. Chester Lockhart is a great musician, actor, did Sex Tips in Vegas, was pinned to star in Glamorous, which never got made, but was in a highly anticipated pilot. Now he's got a new single out. People probably know him best from recently appearing in the Taylor Swift video that had all the LGBTQ stars of the moment in it. Chester was one of them, as well as formerly being a part of the sort of Todrick Hall, I would say the house of Todrick Hall, and doing many of Todrick's videos. So kind of unforgettable look. He's a Korean performer. Korean queen with the platinumest of hair.
Yeah. He's also, you know, he really affiliates with Dorian Electra, who we love, Jesse St. John, who's been on the show.
The whole Charlie XCX crowd.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So they'll be great to have on.
Fantastic. Also, Ed Buck got arrested, girl, this morning. So we're going to unpack that story. But before we get to that headline, it is time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, Poppy, well, off of your words, Ed Buck was charged Tuesday with allegedly running a drug den out of his West Hollywood apartment and providing methamphetamine to a 37-year-old man who suffered an overdose last week, the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office said. Buck, 65, was charged with one felony count, each of battery causing serious injury, administering methamphetamine, and maintaining a drug house. Now, according to the DA's office, Buck was accused with injecting the victim with methamphetamine in the defendant's apartment in the 1200 block of Laurel Avenue in West Hollywood. If convicted as charged, Buck would face a possible maximum sentence of 5 years and 8 months in state prison. Now, of course, we have our own opinions about that, and we'll be talking about that coming up right after the break. But keeping it with news on the beat, a trio of tropical threats has emerged in the Atlantic Basin, forecasters warned. Tropical storm Imelda threatens to swamp portions of southeastern Texas with more than a foot of rain this week, possibly leading to dangerous, life-threatening flash floods. Meanwhile, tropical storm warnings have been hoisted in Bermuda as strengthening Category 2 Hurricane Humberto approaches the tiny island Humberto. You like when I say it like that?
I do. Actually, it was very authentic. One more time.
Humberto.
Ooh.
Thank you. Whenever I listen, I'm a different person now. It's likely to track near Bermuda by later Wednesday, potentially bringing strong winds, battering surf, and heavy rain, the Weather Channel said. And last, a new tropical depression formed Tuesday far out in the Atlantic, one that should become Tropical Storm Jerry by Wednesday. It poses no immediate threat to land. All right, you guys. Well, it was in the wee hours this morning that I found out Ed Buck had officially been arrested. It looks like three times was the charm, but would that work for anybody else that wasn't Ed Buck? Talk about it next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Finally, justice? I don't know. Maybe not yet, but one step closer. Ed Buck charged with running a drug den in West Hollywood out of his West Hollywood apartment. Now, mind you, he does have an actual home in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know he had multiple homes.
The party pad. Unfortunately, it's a party and play pad where two African-American men have already died in his apartment due to what people claim is Ed Buck had been drugging these men. He'd been injecting them with methamphetamine as part of a pee and play or chem sex, however you'd like to frame that. Prosecutors recommended the bail be set for $4 million because they are calling Ed Buck finally violent, dangerous sexual predator who mainly preys on men made vulnerable by addiction and homelessness. He's in a position of power because obviously he was a big and prominent donor and political activist in the LGBTQ plus community. But he's been providing methamphetamines to people for a while. There have been stories of victims who've survived, who've told their stories. And sadly, two people have died. This most recent victim, thankfully, did not die and lived to tell his tale.
Let me tell you something. When I opened my sleepy little eyes at 4 o'clock, the last thing I thought I was going to see was anything about Ed Buck. And as I was scrolling through my phone, it was actually Ashley Marie Preston that let me know that he had been arrested.
Yeah.
And she had a lot to say about it. My own personal opinion is I feel like justice absolutely is still not being served because the maximum sentence that he can get is 5 years and 8 months. He threatened the lives and took the lives of two people and could have been a third person.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were anybody else, and even maybe any other race, yeah, I feel like they would have gotten the book thrown at them the first time around for mm-hmm. a much higher price. However, Ashley Marie Preston had a lot to say. Her take on it was interesting. She said, what many people don't understand is that sexual predators are rarely after sex. They're out to crush the victim's soul. And it's about the consumption of a person's dignity, because without their dignity, they are dead on the inside. Not only is the rape, abuse, and exploitation of historically disenfranchised folks an act of genocide, it's essentially murder in this instance. And I mean, it really kind of is.
Yeah, this is, again, this is a man who is in a position of power. Ed Buck himself is an older white man, 65 years old, who had a fetish for having party and play sex, where he would essentially engage in narcotics with disenfranchised, sometimes sex workers or homeless people, people who had been displaced and living on the street, who were really kind of vulnerable. And basically, he would prey on them and use his position of power. And the reports that several other people who did survive Ed Buck gave are just really shocking and make you want this man off the streets.
Well, what blows my mind too is the egotist that this man is. It was only less than 9 months ago, January 7th, 2019, when the second man, Timothy Dean, was found dead inside of Buck's home. So in less than 9 months, he's been able to
escape,
let this happen to a third person.
Yep. Well, here's the other piece too. That Timothy Dean was ruled an accidental meth overdose, right? So then it doesn't implicate Ed Buck. He just died on Ed Buck's property. So that's how Ed got out of that one. But then back in 2017, there was a gentleman who died, Jamel Moore, and the coroner's office said that the drug paraphernalia found at the scene and ruled the death an accidental meth overdose. Like, whoopsie. So two men die in someone's home. They're both men. Well, one man, I believe, was underprivileged and perhaps a sex worker living on this, that whole bit.
Right.
The other man comes in, and we have several other people who survived. So now it's a trend. Now this is, activists have been outside of Ed Buck's apartment on and off for months, if not longer. There have been articles posted about this. Ed Buck's name is frequently said at LGBTQ rallies when we are talking about just some parts of our community that is disenfranchised and need our support. His name has been at the lips of people within the community highlighting this issue, and the police have done nothing. But now they have to. But did it really need to take the death of two people, if not more, this is all we know about.
Yeah. Honestly, like we've said, there's not much else I can say about it, except for the fact that, just putting it on for me personally, having been sexually abused, it is very damaging. It doesn't feel right. And it brought up a lot of conversation for me with other people who did, were actually sex workers and they found themselves in very vulnerable positions.
But this guy has money. He has a lot of money, and he was, who knows what he was offering them in exchange for some of these things. And, there was, I'm sure, a lot of grooming that went into it. Let's just smoke this. Let's just do this. Let's have a little sex here. And then over time, what ends up happening is he, I think, per some of the reports before, he allegedly asks these guys who've never injected meth, let me inject you with meth. You know, and that is what people have alleged to have escaped this.
I mean, that's the crime in itself, man, to me. Like, injecting meth into somebody, if they've made it 55 years without injecting meth within them, putting it themselves in, and he does that to them and gets them addicted that way, well, I mean, I hope that they really throw the book at him. 5 years to me is not long enough.
I agree with you. Because honestly, I think he's engaging in actions that will forever impact these people's lives. He's contributing to addiction. Not only that, he is taking advantage of the most vulnerable within the community.
That's right.
You know, and using his position of power.
That's right.
Yeah, I kind of want him to get, you know, be put away for a long time.
All right, you guys. Well, listen, yesterday Poppy was at dinner and he saw a table who did not have very good tipping etiquette, which raised the question, what is your tipping etiquette and how we can give you some tips on being a better person all around? So stick around with the new Channel Q.
Listen, some people out there in our nation don't know how to tip.
That's
yesterday, I was at Akuma Sushi in West Hollywood. Big shout out to my friend Dan, who works there. He had a table of about, I would say, 7 Australian men who, you know, doing their normal thing, getting all bro-y with it at sushi, drinking, having their sushi bombs, having their food, and they tipped on $200, I think just a couple bucks.
Now, let me tell you something.
As the former Queer Eye guy from Queer Eye, from the culture guy from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, I got my own title wrong. No. So I overtipped because I wanted to make up for it.
Well, listen, I'm going to say this quickly. I was a waitress for a few years when I was young, and that is literally where I made my money. And people would come in. Now, you said they were Australian, and I know in other countries that gratuity is usually included. However, that happens with people who are from the U.S.
Or, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes it's not included. It's just, what, like for Australia, for instance, because I just read them, I should clarify, they have a higher minimum wage.
Got it. So, they so don't then that's feel how they can, right.
Like, yes, yes.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. $10 on a $200 tab, that is a $40 tip on a $200 tab. Mm-hmm. And I don't like when people say, oh, well, you know, like I just didn't want to leave 20%. For me, just leave the 20% or don't go out to eat. If you can't afford to tip, don't go out.
When you split the bill with people and they, let's say it all comes out to like $35 each and they put down a one.
No.
Has this ever happened to you? I don't want to drag the person, but it's someone who's actually in the music industry who did this with me once.
No!
And I was over tipped and I put the receipts together just, yeah.
No.
And she was like, I already tipped. And I was like, No, you didn't.
No, the only thing that happened one time when my brother was young, he wanted to take me to breakfast. He was like 23 though, and he left zero for a tip. And I was like, what is that? And he was like, what? And I was like, that can never happen again. You can never leave a zero for a tip.
Because for instance, tips are a big part of compensation for waiters and waitresses, like you said, who average about $12 to $17 an hour in tips, compared with the $4 to $5 an hour in wages.
Yeah.
And that's according to the National Restaurant Association. But you know, like you said, there are some countries that, the tip isn't that big of a deal because they have a higher minimum wage.
Yes, but like we have to know other people's culture when we go out of the country. You have to sort of know ours as well.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Do you, when you tip, do you always overtip? Do you always give 20% or do you give what you think they deserve?
I've wanted to tip what they deserved many times. I have not had the gall to do that. Sometimes if there's really horrible service, really horrible food, and they give you an attitude, like an idiot, I'll just drop it down to a sensible 18%.
Okay, all right.
That's not good. I should not be doing that. I should tip based on the service.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. For me, because I did waitress, I like to take a lot of things into, you know, account.
Give me some of those things that we should know that maybe if we've never waited a table that we should consider.
Okay, sometimes it's not the waitress's fault if the food takes a long time.
Okay,
like
that,
even
that
though
I can
you're
accept.
Waiting.
That I can accept.
Even sometimes if the waitress forgot to put something in.
How about if the waitress or waiter, the wait person doesn't come around to check on you very often, and you're like waiting for like anything because they don't come by.
Well, so what I like to take into account is that maybe the server is understaffed. Maybe the restaurant's understaffed, and so she or he has had to.
What if you see the server in the corner updating her official Michaela Gordon Instagram account?
Honey, you're getting 100%. You're getting double. No, I mean, listen, you don't know what
you don't know.
A server takes
rude?
A personable job.
You personally, you've been a waitress. You go somewhere, the waiter is 100% a complete jerk to you.
I mean, like I said, being a server is like being an entertainer. You have to be on, you have to be like great, and sometimes you're just not in the mood, or maybe your cat
you
died, or your boyfriend left you.
You still tip
I might ask. I might be like, hey, is something going on? Are you cool?
How about this? When it comes to hairstylists, manicurists, the people who are doing massages.
No, even if it's not great, I just tip them.
You do, 20% each time.
I do, because honestly,
massages
I just
get
feel
me.
Bad.
Because sometimes you get a massage and it's like $150 or whatever it is. Now you're like, oof, now I have to commit to that tip as well.
Yeah, I know, but also they're like digging into my bones. And so I'm like, you honestly deserve that percentage, because my hands would be. Lisa asked me to massage her feet sometimes, and after 10 minutes, like, my hands hurt. I can't do it anymore. I mean, it's a tough job. Okay. With manicures, there have been a few times, honestly, with the manicures where they've like injured me. They've like pulled out my cuticles and I've started bleeding to death.
Well, let's talk about some other things. For instance, for like sky caps, do you use that when you go to like a hotel? Do you ask for the like the bellhop to take your bags up to your room for you?
No, I don't. But if I did, I would definitely tip.
Yeah, because they're saying doormen could receive like $1 or $2 to carry luggage or hail a cab for you. In New York, if a bellman does get me a cab, I tip him.
Is that customary?
I do. Yeah, I do. Emily's post, by the way, the book about that I'd studied for Queer Eye, because people did consider me the Puerto Rican Emily Post.
Yes.
For hotel staff, she recommended $2 to $5 per night with money left to the side, like housekeeping and stuff for the week.
Yeah.
Like a little thank you note. I usually leave a $20. Or like whatever, like a $10 a day or whatever. Depending. I generally leave my room cleaner than like how I got there.
Yeah, you know where I also leave tips is when you go to an all-inclusive hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a nice place to leave tips as well, because although everything is inclusive, they're making a couple extra bucks off that.
My friends are flight attendants, and they say if you bring like candy on board, like that goes like box of chocolates and stuff from the airport. Like, just as a thank you for the flight attendants, that they'll take good care of you. Don't expect it, but that it is customary, yes.
So you would do that. That's interesting. I haven't heard that. So when you get on the plane, you hand them like a little box of chocolates.
Just say thank you. I appreciate you guys keeping us safe. Thank you. It's for you guys.
Do you do it before or after the plane?
When you get on the plane. So they know
let's
where
do it
you
tomorrow.
Are.
We have to catch a flight. I'll do a little box of chocolates
I'll
for the flight.
I'll
split
with you. Yeah,
okay,
we'll each get one and we'll report on Friday. Justin, remind us. We'll see if this actually does something. Well, how are they going to? Well, in Southwest, and we were flying like, it's not like they can put us in first.
No, we'll just be like, thank you for flying safe. Maybe they'll give us free cocktails.
Yeah, let's try it. All right, we'll try it tomorrow.
Yeah, well, anything for a free cocktail, we'll definitely try.
Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
The best in pop culture headlines and what's popping. So Michaela Gordon, what is popping?
All right, Poppy, this story is a little bit crazy to me. Now, we know Nick Carter. He was in the Backstreet Boys. He's the oldest brother of Aaron Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting because there have been a few sexual abuse allegations made towards Nick Carter in the past and even in the not so past. However, he is married and he is expecting a new baby.
I don't know much about the Carters other than their musical past, and I know that they had some drama back in the day. I remember like
they had their own show.
Yeah, Wild Child style, like
yes.
Partying too hard, getting in trouble with drugs. That's kind of all I know.
Right, and then it felt like everything was sort of smoothing over. However, Aaron Carter recently came out and said he struggles with anxiety, depression. That was part of his drug use, but he is 2 years sober now. However, Nick Carter just released a social media, and it says hashtag mental health, hashtag gun control, hashtag gun control.
After, this is the older one?
This is the older one that has the sexual abuse allegations on his name.
Got it.
He's talking about his younger brother.
Got it.
He said, after careful consideration, my sister Angel and I regret that we were required to seek a restraining order against our brother Aaron today. In light of Aaron's increasingly alarming behavior and his recent confession that he harbors thoughts and intentions of killing my pregnant wife and unborn child, we were left with no choice but to take every measure possible to protect our family and ourselves. We love our brother and hope he gets the help he needs. So
that's
is some family drama, honey. I don't know what that Thanksgiving's going to look like, but it doesn't sound too good. However, we're wishing all the best of luck to Aaron Carter if he is really struggling. All right, you guys, here's some other news. Now, we're excited because we're talking with Chester Lockhart in the next hour, mm-hmm. who was just in Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor Swift has just announced that she is going back on tour for her 2020. However, she's only doing two places in the U.S. Everywhere else is going to be in France, in Brazil, everywhere else around the world.
Like internationally and only two places here in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Why
and
do
people
you think
are
that
like,
is?
What's going on? We don't know yet, but if you're...
Does Chester know?
Well, we
can
might
I
have to get
that. Can I ask Chester?
Maybe you can. He's going to come in. Maybe you got to ask him what's okay. going on. All right, you guys. Well, speaking of hot water, Britney Spears is expected in court for a firework show because it is a battle over her conservatorship. Now, we know that her father, Jamie, has been in charge of her finances and basically her life mm-hmm. for the past couple of years. But recently, Kevin Federline said that Britney's father, had gotten physical and abusive with their 14-year-old son, and he wanted a restraining order on Jamie for the two kids. Well, the judge granted that, and now they're going into court to see who's going to take over Britney Spears' finances and whole conservatorship.
She's still not able to?
Apparently, she's still not able to, and apparently, the tea that's going to be spilled in the courtroom today, nobody is prepared for, but we will not know that until later on.
So we think, I mean... Jeez, oh, that's so weird. So if the dad's not going to do it.
And the mother also doesn't want to do it.
I would
Britney Spears'
do it
mom said, I'm good also. So they gave it to a family friend who's currently doing it, but it's not permanent. They're trying to find out who will permanently do it.
Can you imagine what that sounds like? Hey, Brit, do you want how many million do you want in your salary this week? Do we need to like, put $2 million in there? Just what do you need in your ATM account?
What I'm more concerned about is these pop stars like Nick Carter, Aaron Carter, Britney Spears.
It's
what
scary,
went wrong?
The too much attention everywhere you go, you're treated like an alien. They don't treat you like a human being. You're always wondering what people are in it for, what they want from you. I don't think you have authenticity in those lives.
Yeah, you're right. All right, well, sadly. Rounding out what's popping, Lily Singh debuted her late night show that she's taking over for Late Night with Seth Meyers. And the critics are saying it's going okay. What is it?
Daily.
No, Late with Seth Meyers. Yeah. Lily Singh is a YouTube star, and she finally got her own show, and critics are saying it's going okay. It's interesting, though, watching a comedian do celebrity interviews, because Poppy, as you know, like, you can be a great host, you can be a comedian, an actor, but doing celebrity interviews gets a little tricky. They said they really like her, and they love having her on the show, but she's got to get through some of those little fumbles.
I mean, it happens, right?
Yeah, so if you want to give me the job
also,
instead.
Also, it's a hard spot. It's called A Little Late with Lily Singh. It's weeknights at 1:38 a.m.
That's tough.
That's tough.
I mean, we're waking up at that time.
Honestly, that's real.
All right, she is coming up in the next hour. We are so excited because our little sweet half Korean vampire, Chester Lockhart, will be joining us. You know him from Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down and also from Todrick's MTV show Todrick. But we're talking about his new single, The Night. So stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
We love our singing half Korean vampire Chester Lockhart. He's going to be joining us in the next segment after this, or maybe the one after that. Anyway, he's joining us the show. We just love Chester Lockhart. I have been a huge fan of theirs since seeing them perform with Todrick Hall,
yeah.
in online and music videos, and then now they're starring with people like Taylor Swift. When I saw Taylor Swift teasing her new music video, and there was Chester's name being flashed with all the other celebrities, I was like,
gagged.
Chester Lockhart, you have really pleased me.
You've
I'm
pleased
stealing
me.
Your language. But
I
that was all I could think of.
Well, and then they went to the House of Lobs.
Yeah.
And took a beautiful
That's
photo
right.
with Gaga
because
yesterday.
Lady Gaga released her own makeup line, which, by the way, I didn't personally love, but maybe in person it's great.
I saw Chester's
picture with her, and I was like, I should have on telephone. Why can't I get invited? I like makeup, but then what if you have to say Gaga? I don't think this is that. Well, maybe it's great. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Listen, it's not like we're not going to get it and try it. We'll know in a few days.
I still haven't even gotten the Fenty makeup.
Okay, well,
where do you get it?
You get it at Sephora.
Oh.
But I was going to get it for us at Sephora, but they didn't have it. They didn't have any Fenty, actually, that I was able to get my hands on.
Like, this is the kind of conversations we have on, like, just a Wednesday morning, you and I.
I know. People are like, can you just tell us, like, it's news or something? Or, like, the Fenty?
Literally, Justin, our producer, and I are about to have cheeseburgers for breakfast.
Ooh.
because it's National Cheeseburger Day.
Don't even go there. You guys, I'm going to eat all the cheeseburgers this weekend.
And I got the Carl's Jr. one because I want to pretend like I'm in the old school Carl's Jr. cheeseburger bikini ads.
If you don't think that I did not actually put my bikini on and go outside to eat a Carl's Jr. burger. This was me like 7 years ago. I did my hair for that. Who was watching? Nobody. Right. Not a soul. But well, I knew I was out there.
Some things never changed. And here's Michaela Gordon with the news on the beat. So Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, you guys. Well, the latest version of Apple iOS 13 is out. And this is really exciting. I'm sorry, it's out tomorrow. And what's really exciting is if you have an iPhone 6S model or later, you can update you can update your phone to the newest phone. Now, the features are pretty nice because you could have dark mode, and that is perhaps the single most buzzworthy update in the iOS 13 dark mode, because Apple will give users the option to have a dark background that is said to be easier on the eyes and potentially better for battery life. Some prefer it purely as a stylistic choice. Now, I'm all about that battery life because I'm constantly, my phone is always dying. Okay, if you're tired of punching in one letter at a time on your phone's keyboard, Apple is set to introduce a new QuickPath keyboard, which lets you swipe to type more quickly, similar to how Google's Gboard works. Until now, Apple users interested in this option have had to rely on apps from other developers, such as SwiftKey. And then the company has a new feature that lets you log into third-party apps and websites using your Apple ID. As part of its option called Sign In with Apple, you can even choose for Apple to generate an email address for you to log into these services, thereby limiting the amount of personal information you have to provide. So if you're looking for a new iPhone, tomorrow is the day, girl. Go get yourself a new phone. All right, guys, another news. A trio of tropical threats has emerged in the Atlantic Basin. Now, forecasters are warning. Tropical storm Imelda threatens to swamp portions of southeastern Texas with more than a foot of rain this week, possibly leading to dangerous life-threatening flash floods. Meanwhile, tropical storm warnings have been hoisted in Bermuda as strengthening Category 2 Hurricane Humberto approaches the tiny island. Humberto is likely to track near... Don't stop, Jay. I swear to God, eat that cheeseburger and don't even look at me. Ole, Humberto. And lastly, thanks to the Weather Channel, a new tropical depression formed Tuesday far out in the Atlantic, one that should become Tropical Storm Jerry by Wednesday. It poses no immediate threat to land. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I barely got through that news on the beat because you guys have received your cheeseburgers.
That's right.
For National Cheeseburger Day.
Yeah.
Is it everything that you wanted it to be? Have you had a bite?
It starts with 100% black Angus beef, and already I'm in. All the vegans out there, I'm so sorry. Poor Jeffrey. Gosh, if our producer just... Remember, we had Jeffrey, and now he's switched over to Loveline?
Yeah. It's probably because
he would not love watching me eat this meat.
No, he wouldn't. Remember when you gave him the Ariana Grande new Starbucks drink?
When you said that yeah, drink was vegan, no. And so...
Well, who listens to me?
And then he puked. You're laughing. That he puked because the foam was made of egg-like yolk.
I don't think...
Just whipped egg.
I don't think we saw him for the rest of that show.
No. But he lost 5 pounds, so that's an upside.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Sometimes Paper Magazine introduces people far better than I ever could, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest just the way they did. It was almost as if Chester Lockhart couldn't get any fiercer, having recently appeared in Taylor Swift's Calm Down music video and landed a role in CW's Glamorous with an array of bops like In Loving Memory and Spell on You already in Lockhart's discography. Here comes The Night to smash everything you know about the performer to smithereens. Welcome to The Morning Beat, Chester Lockhart. What a nice introduction they gave you.
Honestly, I think I'm pregnant now. That was amazing. Wow.
I think I'm also pregnant because you didn't know where to put your gum and now it's in the palm of my hand. So I also feel very honored.
I thought you could stick some more eyelashes on your eye with using
that. Michaela Gordon likes a lash extension and there's about four left.
Listen,
total.
I have my appointment later on today. Thank you. Let's talk about important things. First of all, can we talk about you killing it in the Taylor Swift music video?
You thank need to calm
down. I had a heart attack when I saw your name flash. I thought, what? I'm nice thing because big artists don't always do that.
It was, yeah, it was like so unexpected. I mean, the whole thing just happened so fast and she was like so cool. And
did you know that was coming though? Did you know your name would be on there like that? Because when that was on her page, I was like,
we didn't know. I mean, we didn't know anything. I didn't even know who else was in the video because we shot it over so many days and it was all so fast. So none of us like actually saw each other shooting.
Yeah,
when I saw it, I was gagged too. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Like you're in a FYI. You're solidified your place in queer history with
yes,
that moment. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, queer history. Come on.
It's true.
For that. You did. Well, I, you know that I love your music. And with her new single out, I've been waiting for you to put yours out. And The Night is incredible. It just released this morning. And you can also see the music video. But talk to us about The Night.
Basically, so it was produced by RoboKid, who is another queer legend icon. He works, he's like the main confidant of Slater, who is literally taking
everything.
Over music right now. She's amazing, another queer artist. Basically, the song was just about me kind of coming to grips with all the things that I used to view as negative about myself, my queerness, my femininity, my body issues, like whatever it was. Like this past year has really been about, you know, life is so short and fragile and people are trying to take our rights away every day.
Yeah.
It is an act of like political solitude for us to love ourselves and to be exactly who we are. So this is me owning everything about me that I thought was bad and taking back The Night from these little people who try to take it away from me.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we're with Chester Lockhart talking about their new music video, the song, everything. Who does the creative vision for your projects? They're so visual, and it's one of the things I love most about you as a performer is like you're delivering the music but also telling a story.
So I creative direct and direct and edit all of my stuff, like everything.
I want you to say that again because I think it's so important that people understand you also edit, you creative direct, you create it by yourself.
Yes, I direct it, I executive produce it, all my songs are written by me, everything is done by me. The music video that just came out was actually the first time that I've really worked with other people. It was produced by Dorian Electra, who's one of my best friends in Weston Allen.
We love
So it was really cool to get to work with some of my best friends who I respect so much their work. But yeah, I mean, this really is like me doing this 100%. I don't have a label. I don't have other people. It's just like me and my sad, sad, skinny little checkbook.
But that's hard. That's really tricky. What keeps you going? Because so many people want to do it and blame not having a label or a manager for not accomplishing that, myself included. So what keeps you going?
I think I just have this like when I see kids who come up to me and they say to me, you give me reason to like keep going. I have no other representation where I live in Alabama or wherever. So to see you doing this like makes me feel like I can achieve anything. Right. And that to me is something that I wish I could have seen as a kid. So that is what really keeps me going. So there are no no's.
How about collaborations? Dream collaborations. I know that you run in the Charlie XCX and Dorian Electra land.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you had to pick some folks to perhaps collab with, I mean, I know who we'd want to see with, but who would you want to pick? You think?
My dream collaboration besides Michaela Gordon singing the national anthem.
I said go on.
Or Santa Baby.
Would be, I don't know, I've always wanted to work with Marilyn Manson.
that would be
that's
fun.
Who I'm trying to put out in the universe. So we'll see. If you're listening, Marilyn, call me.
All right, well, listen, coming up, I want to take a listen to The Night and where we can see you perform for this Halloween beautiful celebration that
Ooh,
you have going
on. There's a Halloween party. I'm going.
I can't reveal anything at the moment.
We'll be revealing it all after the break.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
We are back with Chester Lockhart talking about their best friend Dorian Electra. And their special magnetic connection. The new music is The Night, and we are about to play. Should we play some of it now? We're going to play it. Is that what we're going to do?
Sure.
We didn't hear it. Let's listen to a bit of The Night. Dorian Electra is obviously one of your best friends, right?
I just want to say,
y'all are really trying me right now.
At the break, Michaela got really mad because she's very protective. As my husband, she is my best friend, and she has 6 eyelashes right now. So I just want to make that very clear.
You know what? Just take us into The Night.
I apologize.
All alone, out of sight, used to wait for you all night. Every tear I would cry, burn my eyes. Now something's coming over me. The blood is rushing to my head. And when the moon comes out, I'm rising from the dead. I finally feel alive. I'm taking back the night. I finally feel alive.
quote from Chester. I hope this song makes you want to put on your leather harness, dance around the morgue, and take back the night from the bitches who think they can steal it from you. Can you write again what the night means to you for those who just joined us?
Basically, the night was all the things about myself that I didn't like, that I thought made me less than in the eyes of society of the world, and me reclaiming that and realizing that my imperfections make me beautiful. I am amazing being the half Korean genderqueer vampire that I am. And I'm also single. So if Fantastic. Any of the listeners, you know, liked that, if your ears aren't bleeding at the moment, you can find me on social media at Chester Lockhart, or on Craigslist if you have that as well.
I can't misconnection. Stand you. All right, you know, though, one thing I do love about you is your authenticity in all of your music. And it is true. You know, a lot of us are so insecure and we keep this front that we aren't. And so to do it in such a creative way, the night, taking back what is rightfully yours. We love that. Can people see you soon in concert? Yeah. What's next?
When can we see a live stage, you on stage? Because I think you're such a killer performance on well, I can't even speak. He's such a killer performer on stage.
You guys are flirting with me. This is
literally
so hot.
A killer on stage.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. Yes. The cops are after me. I can't announce anything at this moment, but during the spook month, October, I will be a lot of places. As soon as October 1st, I will be somewhere very, very special.
Do you get dressed up for Halloween, or can you do?
I have like 18
glam
costumes.
Okay, I was about
literally.
To say.
I'll say this, and hopefully, maybe I'm hinting at something that maybe I shouldn't be. But
of
last
you
year,
will be. Watch.
You hosted for a party with Kim Petras, where we got to listen to her new album. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
I had the best time.
Uh-huh. It
can
was
we
sickening.
Possibly be seeing you doing anything with Kim Petras this year
or Elvira?
I cannot confirm or deny
Why
those
are you
things,
doing this to
but
me?
What I can confirm is that on October 1st, Kim's new Halloween album comes out. So
wait, we're going to be introducing her at the end of this month for the Equality California Gala.
Yeah.
So she has a new Halloween themed album, or like a spooky one.
Yes,
I love the other one.
Yes, she has a Turn Off the Light Volume 2. She announced.
I'm dying.
She
I'm
announced
dying.
We love you. All right. Well, listen, we love you so much here at Channel Q. Obviously, I like you. Okay.
And then we'll talk about, you know, speaking of the love and speaking of the kind of triadic situation we have here, mm-hmm. tomorrow we're going to be talking about swingers.
Goodbye.
Yeah, well, we are.
I can't even get one person to like me, let alone numerous. What?
I know, this actor came out saying that swinging saved his marriage.
Yeah.
I don't have a marriage to save.
Okay, we'll work on that piece.
Well,
okay, my God.
That's okay. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Tomorrow will be our last day before we head to Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas for the rest of the weekend.
And be sure to follow Chester Lockhart on social media, because that is all the information on all the music where you can see. And, of course, if he comes to a town near you, where you can catch him in person.
Yes.
Of course, we love you, Chester. And
love
we will talk to you guys
tomorrow.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.